With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
One game in the books from week number 7. Woo! I knew this would happen. It always happens. By the time we get to mid to late October, all the days start to blend together. And before you know it, you're nearly halfway through the NFL season, nearly halfway through the college football season. But I do love it because there are still storylines up and down the schedule and throughout all the divisions. We've got a bunch of byes this weekend as well in the NFL, which means that you've got teams that get a break. Maybe they don't want to bye this early, but man, there are 6 teams on bye, which has forced a conundrum for many fantasy football owners like myself. Though, if you picked up D'Ernest Johnson before tonight's kickoff, well then, I hope you put him in your starting lineup because he was worth the play. And apparently, producer James did exactly that. I actually bypassed it. I did not pick him up because I was a little bit nervous about how this game was going to go considering all the injuries. But he turned out to be not just a sleeper, but a superstar for fantasy.
24 points, I believe, I got from him for the night. just a big week of bye weeks, like you were just saying. So all these teams are on a bye. I have James Robinson, who's my running back, so he's out. And Chase Edmonds, who's just been dealing with shoulder injuries the past few weeks. And I've been rolling him out there. And he just hasn't been the same. They haven't been giving him the touches. So I was like, I'm not going to do that again this week. I'm going to go with the guy who I know is at least going to get the touches in D'Ernest Johnson. And he got the touches all right, and he did wonders with them.
Yeah, he
and
did
wow,
more
what
than
a way
that.
To start the week of fantasy.
Amazing. I briefly wondered what Nick Chubb would have done since Nick Chubb is out, but he's my fantasy bell cow. So, of course, I didn't get rid of him. I didn't let him go. I kept him, but he's not ready to play yet. So I'll be looking forward to him coming back. I wonder how many people put Case Keenum in their starting lineup. He wasn't an option in my league. I didn't see him being offered as a guy that you could pick up off waivers. And so I think I grabbed Carson Wentz, if I remember correctly, because Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills are on bye. Keenum, he had no turnovers. He had 199 yards and a touchdown. And so he did real well. And we just had a caller who referenced his fourth down run. It was 4th and 3. It was inside the red zone late in the third quarter. I'd have to go back and look at the exact time of it. Yeah, it was late in the third quarter. Just pulled it up about a minute to go in the third. And it, of course, put them at a 1st and goal. And the question that our listener had, actually, he fumbled the ball into the end zone, which was kind of funny. But the rules say that it can't be recovered there and can't be advanced. So instead of the fumble being recovered for a touchdown, quote unquote, the Browns were 1st and goal at the 1. So that was kind of where my focus was as opposed to the run. But I did find the highlight during the break and went back to look at it so that I could kind of understand what was happening. In fact, I'm seeing it right now, actually. NFL Network is replaying the game and they're replaying that exact moment. He did stop and stop for a minute and look for a receiver who was open. But you know how tight things are in the red zone. So whether this was an option for him or whether he just decided to take off when the offensive line parted, it was like the Red Sea parting in front of him. So the O-line did a great job of clearing a lane. Again, whether that was supposed to be one of his options if he couldn't find a receiver briefly or not. Initially, he wasn't going to get the first down, but he broke through one tackle and kind of twisted and stretched out the ball, which is when he lost possession and he saw it bounce forward into the end zone where it was recovered by a Brown, but not for a touchdown. So ultimately, a 1st and goal. A pretty impressive move by Case Keenum. I would say a heads up play by a veteran to see what was happening. And a lot of times if you're a younger quarterback, a rookie quarterback, maybe you haven't had a lot of experience, So you're not seeing everything that's unfolding and developing, but this was a wide open lane for Case Keenum. And then on the very next play, the Browns were able to score the passing TD. So yeah, huge moment for them. Even if they had turned the ball over there, you're talking about a long, long, long field for the Broncos. But at this point, Cleveland was only up by the score of 10-7. And so the offense was pretty tough to come by. The Broncos had scored out of the third quarter. And to be able to tack on this touchdown that ultimately gave them enough to preserve the win was huge. And so the veteran quarterback to be able to do it in that moment, of course you like the confidence that Kevin Stefanski has in him and in the call to go for it.
In these scenarios, you believe in your guys. And we think it makes sense to do it, but like I've said to you before, we won't do that just for the sake of doing it. We're doing it because we think we have a chance to get a first down in that situation, get a chance to get 7 points in that situation, and as you saw, that was important.
Not his first option, but Keenum made it work, and he's part of this big victory, though it was kind of cool to hear him talk about D'Ernest Johnson and the big night that D'Ernest had. And so whether it's Case Keenum, whether it's D'Ernest Johnson, whether it's that offensive line or the defense, all coming together for a win, but they can then be happy for a guy who's never had this opportunity before and this being his first NFL start.
You hate injury. You really do. I mean, it's really tough part of this game, but it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. Unfortunately, some people are going to get hurt, but at the same time, you love other young guys getting chances, and a guy like him who the locker room loves, everybody loves, great young family, and just a good overall person.
So Case Keenum gets this opportunity, makes the most of it, as does his third string running back, and the Browns are now at 4-3. So looking at the updated AFC North standings, it's just tight. It's competitive. It's a stacked division, as we knew that it would be. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need cash out of your home and a simple way to get it, Rocket can. Speaking of the AFC North, and we're going to put up our poll that lets you select the After Hours game of the week. It's Bengals at Ravens. So the 5-1 Baltimore Ravens, the 4-2 Cincinnati Bengals. While every team has injury question marks, don't worry about Joe Burrow. He's on voice arrest, but of course he's going to play this weekend. The Ravens, meanwhile, have discovered the fountain of youth for their running backs with Latavius Murray and Devontae Freeman and Le'Veon Bell. And so that is absolutely a marquee game of the upcoming weekend. Now, each of these teams in the division, as it is with every division, they'll play each other twice. But if Cincinnati would end up winning in Baltimore, which is a tall order, they would have to snap the Ravens' 5-game win streak, all that momentum. They're already a team that's battle-tested. But it would be a huge statement for the Bengals, and they would then have the same record as the Ravens. The Browns are now a half game back of the Bengals. We'll see what happens on Sunday. But if the Bengals could beat Baltimore, well, then that would kind of pull the top down a little bit and make everything closer. Pittsburgh's on bye this week, but they've got back-to-back wins. Of course, one of them being against Denver as well. And they're at 3-3 and happy to have the bye week with a win, right? A bye week to be able to get healthier. Certainly that's important for their older quarterback, their old dude in Ben Roethlisberger. So that's one of the games that no doubt is highlighted on this week's schedule. Another one that has human interest storylines woven through it is Houston at Arizona. And I'm not telling you this is a game of the week candidate, only that it's the opportunity for Arizona, J.J. Watt, DeAndre Hopkins to face their former team in the Houston Texans. Bill O'Brien is gone. It's not the same management anymore. Same ownership for sure. Not the same management, not the same quarterback, not the same anything, but it's still crazy to think about where Houston is now versus where Houston was when it was winning, what, 4 out of 5 AFC South titles? And now it's a mess. I mean, David Culley is doing what he can, and I appreciate that Davis Mills has shown flashes. I'm sorry for Tyrod Taylor that he got injured early on. Hope that he will return. But Houston is devoid of the talent it needs to be able to compete on a regular basis. Meanwhile, Arizona has won six in a row. So I did see J.J. Watt talking on Thursday. Hope to grab some of that audio because, yeah, he says the same thing. This is not the Houston Texans that I remember. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. How about Kansas City and Tennessee? Wowzers. So Kansas City is coming off a game against the Washington football team in which the Chiefs were trailing at halftime on the road. Okay, so if you remember, the Chiefs are the number one team in the NFL at turnovers. We're not used to the Chiefs being the number one team in the NFL in that category, but against Washington last week, the Chiefs had three more turnovers in the first half. There was a brutal interception thrown on, you could call it a scramble, you could call it one of those Houdini plays that normally Patrick Mahomes makes look brilliant. Normally Mahomes pulls something out of his butt, so to speak. But in this particular case, he was under fire. He was under siege, and he just made a terrible decision, threw a ball up for grabs, and it was intercepted. Now, it was the end of the half, so it wasn't that big of a deal, but still adding to the turnover total. He had another ball that went right through the hands of Tyreek Hill. That keeps happening. It was intercepted as well. There was a fumble in there, too. And so they've just been a mess. 14 total turnovers. The difference was, in the second half, they took care of the football. And so even though the Chiefs were trailing, I think it was 14-10 at the break, they find a rhythm that felt more familiar for them. And they score touchdowns on three consecutive drives. Ultimately, Mahomes finishes with nearly 400 yards. He was getting hit a lot. So there were three sacks, 10 other quarterback hits. He finished with a couple of turnovers to go along with those touchdowns. But the fact is they won, and it looked different in the second half. And so they want to be able to capture that and take that now on the road again into Nashville. So what was different?
I think as an offensive, but especially me, just stopped hurting myself. I mean, just kind of just stayed within the reads, stayed true to the reads. And then when it broke down, got out of the pocket and try to make some plays happen. But pretty much just staying true to who I am and not trying to do too much and kind of relied on the other guys to make plays, and they did.
So Kansas City at Tennessee, another massive AFC clash along with Cincinnati at Baltimore. And there are others that are intriguing, like Detroit at Los Angeles. Why? Well, because of Jared Goff facing his former team in the Rams. And we've got candid, open comments from Jared in the wake of Sean McVay saying, hey, I should have communicated better before this trade went down. And Jared said he appreciated that. It takes a man to be able to admit that you didn't handle something correctly, especially to admit it publicly. He did say, though, he felt like the eroding of their relationship was overblown, that it wasn't as bad as what it was made out to be publicly. Bigger picture, the Lions need a win. They're the only team in the NFL that does not yet have a win. And so here they are on the road against one of the best teams in the league. Whatever incentive there might be for Jared Goff to have the game of his life and for the Lions to win on his behalf, that may be a moot point. You can put as much effort as you want into it, heart, desire, will, preparation. But in some cases, if you're not a good team and if you struggle to put together a full 60 minutes, this could be a massive uphill climb. Meanwhile, the Rams, they're a great team and they're in that same division as the Arizona Cardinals. So we know they're kind of setting the pace along with a couple of other teams in the NFC. So we'll hear from Jared Goff a little bit later on. James, I want to grab that sound that we had from earlier in the week, please. Another game that's a lot of fun. Just because I think about the perspective of Justin Fields. Last week, the Chicago Bears were home against the rival Green Bay Packers. 203rd meeting, but the first one that included Justin Fields. And he got a real taste of that rivalry. It was a tough game. It was a game with a lot of acrimony. a lot of animosity, a lot of trash talking. Green Bay ultimately gets the win with some big performances on the ground late in the game, right? So Aaron Jones, A.J. Dillon, and then the touchdown by Aaron Rodgers, in which he responded to a woman flipping him the double bird with, "I've owned you my whole effing life. I own you. I still own you." So Green Bay got the win and now is on a 5-game winning streak. Meanwhile, Chicago moves on to, oh dear, Tampa Bay. So last week across the field, Aaron Rodgers. This week across the field from Justin Fields is Tom Brady, who decided that he would be funny on his Let's Go podcast as he was thinking ahead to this matchup with the Chicago Bears.
You know, I was studying a little bit on the Bears and the Packers and watched a lot of that. That was another great game. And I actually, before we get started, I wanted to say congrats to Aaron Rodgers. Obviously, not only is he a great quarterback, but I guess he's now a shareholder of the Bears. He was, you know, I saw a clip of him really enthusiastically telling the crowd how happy he is to own Soldier Field. And that's really great stuff. He owns the Bucks now, part owner of Soldier Field. So he's got a great career beyond football.
All right, Tom Brady, the comedian on his podcast with Jim Gray and Larry Fitzgerald. By the way, if you haven't seen the video, I don't generally watch the video of the podcast, but I did see some clips of it online. Brady is clearly reading this, so he's written it out to make sure that he gets it right and delivers the punchline well. But he did it all by himself. I mean, this was something he came up with on his own. It's not something that Jim Gray or someone else put him up to. So yeah, he does have a sense of the comedic and also enjoys doing a little trash talking of his own. And so he's congratulating Aaron Rodgers for owning a share of Soldier Field the way that he is a stakeholder in the Milwaukee Bucks. That's another game in which you think Justin Fields is going to get an edumacation about what it's like at the highest levels of football with others who have logged a lot of years and thrown a lot of touchdowns and won a lot of games in the NFL. So Chicago at Tampa Bay. New Orleans at Seattle might have been a more high-profile matchup if Russell Wilson was available, but of course he's on IR, so it's Geno Smith again. Trying to look at some of the other games and think about the storylines that jump out. Well, San Francisco is hosting Indianapolis on Sunday Night Football, and we don't yet know if Jimmy Garoppolo will be available. And so it could be Trey Lance. It could be Jimmy Garoppolo. The problem is that the San Francisco 49ers are kind of hanging on by a thread. We know that Trey was banged up in their last game, and here they are at 2-3. And so they're not quite basement of the NFC West. That would be the Seahawks. But they can't afford to fall any further behind. Meanwhile, you've got the Colts, who are playing some of their best football of the year. So can that Niners defense tame Carson Wentz and Jonathan Taylor and the Colts? That offensive line, when it's playing well, it's one of the best in the NFL. Now, they've had their own injuries too, guys coming in and out, but they're obviously very well prepared, and it's a great unit. Jonathan Taylor's been running lights out recently, and I know that game against Baltimore was a huge disappointment when they had the 19-point lead with, 3 minutes to go in the third quarter, and they lost. That was a smack in the face. But they did play well last week, and now they hit the road at San Francisco, where you've got another team that's desperate for a win. So as I tell you, I can go up and down the schedule and pull storylines from each of the teams. And so we'll continue to look at the Week 7 schedule. I'd love to talk to you about a game that stands out in your case or stands out to you. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Also, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and then on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. In moments, I mean mere moments, we will have your opportunity to choose After Hours Game of the Week. So producer James is working on that even now as we speak. Straight ahead, Steph Curry, MVP talk already? Are you kidding me? It's 2 games in, except have you seen what the guy's up to? It's After Hours, our final show of the week. I need it to be Friday here on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Curry hustle. hustles up the floor. Throw ahead, Damian Lee. Back to Curry. Curry fires away. Three ball above the break. Curry knocked it down. Warriors go up by two, and the Clippers call time. Wiggins to Andre. The Draymond goes up and scores. Low left. Warriors lead by four. 11.6. The Clippers can't call time.
You're listening to After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Call Amy at 855-212-4CBS.
The voice of Tim Roy, who's already got to be in midseason form considering what Steph Curry has done to start the season himself. Pretty incredible. A triple-double in the season opener, and he follows that up in the home opener with 45 points to go along with 10 rebounds. And you may remember after the opener, which the Warriors won, it was on the road, and that was against the Lakers. So a bit of a surprise in their opener at Staples Center. You may remember he said that he played like trash. He had a triple-double, and he said, even though I played like trash, in his post-game comments on TNT. Well, he was referring to his shooting, not so much the rest of his play. But he was 8 of 13 from downtown in this one and had a couple of those threes that serve as daggers. And so if you look back at the play-by-play or if you happen to catch the highlights, he had a 30-footer with about 2 minutes to go because, you know, Steph, flair for the dramatic. And then he hit a go-ahead triple with about 57 seconds left. And so 45 points in the home opener, and the Warriors edged the Clippers 115 to 113. There was even a big rebound with a few seconds left on the clock. He had a couple of free throws, too. And so Steph Curry, at this point, already setting the bar, raising it for his Warriors and setting it for the rest of the NBA. So they start out 2-0. Even without Klay Thompson, and I know Klay was in the news for a completely different reason on Thursday, but it is kind of fun to think about the West with the Warriors back in the mix. Because Steph is fun. His brand of basketball is fun. And the Warriors went to 5 straight NBA finals. Their brand of basketball, their hallmark is passing the ball around, is making sure you find the open man, is swinging it so quickly that you catch a defense off guard. It's about pushing tempo. It's about being seamless and involving everyone on the court. And so to watch Steph start out the way that he has, even as they try to integrate some new guys into their lineup, and then to know that Klay Thompson will be back in January, you can understand why Steve Kerr and Draymond Green have indicated that this is a team that can compete. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. So Steph said he feels like he poured everything he had into this game for them to ultimately come away with the W.
It felt like three different games out there. Obviously, the first quarter that we had, you know, them going on the run, and then the second half was kind of just back and forth the whole time. So, you know, we're growing, we're maturing. It's obviously two games, but you know, we know we have a lot of room to grow. It's nice to learn lessons and wins, and you know, just build expectations for who we are as a team. So, and obviously, it's nice to win on your home court. We haven't, you know, had our fans in a very long time, and so it was amazing energy in there, and glad we got it done.
The chance of MVP from the fans in their own arena started in the first. I mean, no one wins an MVP in game number two. No one wins an MVP in October. I don't care what sport we're talking about. Even Major League Baseball, we're not there yet. But it is kind of fun to know that the fans are excited, getting to be back in these arenas, full arenas. Because remember, last year, we didn't have arenas that were supercharged like this until the postseason. And then they were supposed to be half capacity. They were supposed to be only vaccinated fans, yada, yada, yada. And everybody just kind of did whatever they needed to bring their fans back into the arenas. And it was so neat to have, for instance, the Milwaukee Bucks with the Deer District that they had with all the fans outside and then the crazy atmosphere inside. Of course, we remember watching the fans in Atlanta and New York with the Knicks. And actually, we had the Atlanta All I can think of is Falcons. We had the Atlanta Hawks with their game, their first game this week, and it was, and actually their home opener on Thursday against Dallas. And so it was just kind of a reminder of Trae Young and those young guys with the Hawks. Now, he only had 19 points, but they're just getting started. So anyway, the Warriors didn't make the playoffs the last couple of years. Of course, they didn't have their fans. And so Steph refers to that, and they're yelling MVP at him already in just two games in.
If you're doing what you're supposed to do, that's obviously the hopefully the result that you're in that conversation. You know, affecting winning, you know, leading your team on the court, off the court, you know, just trying to find ways to elevate your game. So, I mean, that's always a part of the mission. It's not so much as the vision and the, you know, the MVP trophy every time you step foot on the floor, but it's the expectation of how you're supposed to play every night that is MVP type caliber.
So Steph Curry and the Warriors start out 2-0. Nobody wins an MVP. Nobody wins a championship this early. But I believe the NBA is more fun when this team is active and when Steph is playing for something. Last year won a scoring title and was part of the MVP conversation. And the Warriors did make it to that play-in game or that play-in tournament or whatever it is. That's not even supposed to be technically be playoffs. It's that whole 7-10 wrinkle that the NBA has put in. And then they won the first game but lost to the Lakers. Beat the Lakers but lost to the Spurs. Is that how it went? We had Lakers-Warriors in that very first game. And then if I remember correctly, it was a Friday night against, maybe it wasn't the Spurs. Why do I not remember now? It wasn't that long ago. Anyway, oh, the Grizzlies. It was the Grizzlies, wasn't it, that ended up winning that game, if I have the details right. Gosh, it feels like many moons ago that happened, but I'll have to look it up. So I do remember that the Warriors got in and played the Lakers in that first game, and it was one of the highest-rated games that the NBA had seen in a few years. And so then after that, the Warriors went on, and if I remember correctly, it was against the Grizzlies in what was the ultimate game to get into the Western Conference bracket. So I could be wrong, but I think that's correct. You guys, there's so much stuffed into my brain that it's not even funny, and it's not an excuse. I'm sorry. I should just know all these things off the top. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. We now have the poll up on our social media. So Twitter first, you can find it After Hours CBS or on my Twitter. What is the After Hours game of the week? And we always try to go across the country and get a sample from as many time zones as possible. But it's not possible to ignore AFC North with Bengals at Ravens, or to ignore the Chiefs and the Titans, who both come from the Central time zone. So we threw in a couple more, which we think have some fun matchups. Check that out again on Twitter, After Hours CBS, and we'll get the poll up on Facebook. Though on Facebook, you get to pick and choose whatever game you like and just write it in because you have more freedom. I don't have freedom on Facebook, but you have freedom on Facebook. Hey, coming up a little bit later in the show, we're going to welcome old friend John Kincaid from 97.5, the Fanatic in Philadelphia. He's actually in Las Vegas because the Eagles will be taking on the Raiders this coming weekend, week 7 in the NFL. But because he has to get up early anyway, East Coast time, he's agreed to hop on the show with us in the final hour. And so we'll talk to him about what's playing out with the Sixers. But if you haven't heard Daryl Morey, who is the GM of the Sixers, very pointed comments on 97.5 on Thursday about where they are with Ben Simmons, even as they're supposed to have this big meeting on Friday, and what they're asking for in a trade. They're not going to give up their all-star point guard for nothing. And he tells you that they're going to toe that line no matter how long it takes. I'm telling you, this is compelling stuff from Daryl Morey. Straight ahead, After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Gallinari against Korkmaz, pushes off, gets away with it, way short. Simmons at the ball, 3-on-3 run out, right down the lane, in on Collins, right hand shot is good. Ben Simmons, court length drive, bucket good. Sixers 62, Atlanta 36.
obviously going home, you know, we're playing in front of your own fans. So they're going to give us that boost that we need probably. But, you know, we got to handle business game by game.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
That's Ben Simmons, but not 2021 Ben Simmons. That was Ben Simmons back when he wanted to be a Philadelphia 76er. Meanwhile, Tom McGinnis on the Sixers radio network, no shortage of drama as Philadelphia is one game in with its home opener against the Nets. Oh, ha! The two teams in the Eastern Conference whose all-star point guards are currently unavailable, though for very different reasons. Now, a little bit later in the show, in fact, 2 hours from now, we will welcome John Kincaid, my old friend from a previous network and this network, now in Philadelphia, back home in Philadelphia with 97.5, the Fanatic, the morning show, and we'll get his insight on the Sixers. He is the king of uncomfortable radio. That's how he bills himself, and that means that he just tells it like he sees it and doesn't worry about hurting feelings or pulling punches. So that's coming up a little bit later on, but wait until you hear what Daryl Morey had to say about the Ben Simmons situation in his own locker room. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. What is the NFL game of the week, according to yous? We've got the poll up on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or our show Twitter. We know a lot of you use our show Twitter as well, which is great. Or maybe you don't want to follow me on Twitter because you do not want to hear about how I burned the bacon. That's not a euphemism. That's actually burning the bacon. And so instead, you just follow our show Twitter account. Or maybe I've blocked you, and so that's the only way you... you can follow me is when you follow our show account. Actually, I haven't blocked nearly as many people as I've muted. No joke. I've muted at least 2,000 people. It might even be more than that. I'm not kidding. The fun part about muting is that they don't know that you've muted them. And so you still get credit for the follow and they are still sending you tweet after tweet after tweet after tweet and trolling you. But you're never seeing them. The only time I ever know when someone's still trolling me is that other people will respond to whatever ridiculous thing that muted listener put up. So yeah, mute is the best because they just think you're reading their tweets and you have so much self-control, or they don't know. They just have no clue. Blocking though is that's my response to you if you are blatantly insulting or nasty. Like last week, some guy called me a bitch, so I blocked him. Pretty simple. You can exercise your freedom of speech, and I'm going to exercise my freedom not to give a crap what you say or what you write on my Twitter. We both have that freedom. Kind of. Social media is it's a bit of a cesspool, so we don't all have freedom. So on our Facebook page, we're about to put that poll up, the After Hours game of the week. Oh, producer James tells me it is already up now. So you can find that on either Twitter or Facebook, and you can choose. And right now, out of the gate early, it's a tight race among two of the matchups, which we knew was going to happen, but we made it a four-team race anyway, a four-team poll. Here's what we know about Friday with Ben Simmons. Well, let me go backwards a little. Here's what we know about Thursday with Ben Simmons. He did show up at the team's practice facility, but did not work out. And, oh, this is convenient. Forgive me for being skeptical and cynical. He apparently has some back pain. I bet he does. I bet he's got a real back pain. In fact, I think he's giving other people back pain as well. Or maybe it's ass pain, as in you're a pain in the ass. He described discomfort in his back. That was what I read to the Sixers athletic training staff. And then had some treatment before the medical staff cleared him to work out. But he didn't work out. He just left. So that back pain was pretty bad. Simmons is expected to meet with the team's front office, the powers that be, I'm sure Doc Simmons, coming up on Friday morning before they open up their home slate with a game against the Nets on Friday. We know Ben Simmons wants out. We know that he's essentially pulled a Deshaun Watson and said, I'll never play for this organization again. He's also borrowing some of the pages out of James Harden's book, which did work. James Harden was a punk and forced his way out of Houston. He sulked. He broke team rules. He was a horrible teammate. That's how he got his way out of Houston to Brooklyn. Seems to be that's what Ben Simmons is doing now, too. Philadelphia is trying to play nice and patch it up. They want him in the lineup because he helps them to win, according to Doc Rivers. In the meantime, of course, they are searching for a trade, and they're going to keep finding him. Now, Simmons hasn't been in the league that long. Of course, he did sign a huge contract. Hasn't been in the league that long, but has already lost more than $1.5 million in fines for missing preseason games, for skipping workouts, and other mandatory team activities. The guy's hemorrhaging money and still doesn't care. Must be nice when you have a guaranteed contract, right? Daryl Morey, very candid, very honest. On 97.5 The Fanatic on Thursday, he's the Sixers president of basketball operations. And he says they're still working toward the goal of having Simmons in uniform on the court.
We're treating it day by day that he's part of this team. And, you know, we're hoping to reintegrate him. Obviously, that doesn't look optimistic right now. I'm not here to spin your audience, but you know, every day, you know, it's a little like Goodwill Hunting. Every day, you know, we expect him to come in and move towards being able to help us on the floor, because we know we're a better team with Ben Simmons, and we know that that's the best plan for the team.
We know we're a better team with Ben Simmons, and that's the best plan for the team. That's similar to what Doc Rivers told us. He was asked, why do you guys want him around? Why? And if you think about it in contrast with what the Nets have done, yeah, Kyrie Irving, I don't know what that sounded like, sorry. Kyrie Irving is one of the best point guards, offensive point guards, in the league, but they don't want a part-time guy. So they make the decision that it's too much turmoil and turnover in the lineup, and they tell him to stay away until he decides to get vaccinated or until the mandates are lifted, whichever comes first. Meanwhile, Ben Simmons wants nothing to do with the Sixers, but they're rolling out the red carpet. And I suppose they're going to tell him the exact same thing come Friday, except they're also going to tell him, we're not caving and trading you to the first team that comes along.
This is a very good player. And to give ourselves the best chance to win the title, you need difference makers. You don't need role players. Right now, any sort of trade, which obviously Ben Simmons wants, the best thing we can do is get role players back. That makes no sense. That will give us no better chance to win the title if we were to move Ben Simmons for role players. So people should buckle in. I mean, this is going to go a long time, because our only path, my only job, is to help us give the best chance to win the title. Ben Simmons is a difference maker, so if we can get him back, he will help us win the title. If we can trade Ben Simmons for a difference maker, we will do it. I think that's best for everyone in this situation.
They're not opposed to trading Ben, but they're not going to give him away. What does that sound like? Sound familiar, right? The Houston Texans. They're not opposed to trading Deshaun Watson anymore. They were for a while. They had taken the hardline stance that we're not trading away our franchise quarterback. We just signed him to a contract. But once the civil lawsuits came to light and it became apparent that they did not want him in the lineup, then they started listening to trade offers again. Except they want a significant haul. They want multiple number one picks. And I understand why. He's an elite QB when he's healthy, when he's out there. I heard one NFL MVP call him a touchdown maker. He's a touchdown maker. And so they're not going to give him away. Same thing with Ben Simmons. He's not a three-point shooter, no, but he's an all-star. He's a difference maker, as Daryl Morey says on 97.5 The Fanatic. We're not just going to give him away. We're not going to trade him for role players, because we need a difference maker. And I appreciate that Morey has said, my job is to make this team better. Yeah, we know it's the best outcome for everyone to trade this guy. It's not working anymore. He doesn't want to be here, but we're not just going to offer him up at a yard sale and say, we'll take your best offer. We're not going to put him on layaway. Just, you know, get back to us with a player to be named later. One more with Daryl Morey. When he says buckle in, he says this could be stretched out longer than what you may think.
You're going to think I'm kidding. I'm not. This could be 4 years. Like, the conditions that I'm pointing out to you don't change. Unless Ben Simmons is traded for a difference maker, we're in the prime of Joel's career. We have to get back either Ben Simmons playing well for us, who helps us win the championship, or we have to get back a difference maker for Ben Simmons. Or this could be 4 years from now, and we're still like, hey, we took the best shot at it we could. So this could be 4 years. This is not a day-to-day. This is like every day we're going to expect Ben Simmons to be back here, or we're trading him for a difference maker. There's no other outcome that doesn't materially hurt our chance to win the championship in Joel Embiid's prime.
Daryl Morey on 97.5 The Fanatic. I believe him. And here's the problem for Ben. He's under contract. He's not, and because he's choosing to stay away, they're not paying him. We're not talking about a Deshaun Watson situation where right now they're paying him to do nothing. Or Kyrie Irving, where the Nets have agreed to pay him for the games in which he's eligible, which are the away games, even though they're not allowing him to play. In both those cases, it's costing the team money. In the case of Ben Simmons, it's costing the Sixers nothing. It's a guaranteed contract, but it's his choice to not play right now. It's his choice to not go through practice. It's his choice to not participate in team activities, which means they don't have to pay him a dime. His contract was signed in 2019, 5 years, $170 million. It does not include a player option. It does not include a team option. It takes him through the 24-25 season. He is not an unrestricted free agent until after the 25 season. He's got no choice. He's going to have to stick it out until they get the package that they want in return. And I do think at some point a team will offer that. Probably not now when he's sullen and surly and teams think that they can get him on the cheap. Once they realize that Daryl Morey and the Sixers are dug in, the price may go up. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.